Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Good time of worship. If for those of you that don't know me and are new to Hope Rock, my name is Marco, and it's good to see everybody here, especially the new faces. I don't need to introduce Jeremy to most of you, although some of you might not know Jeremy as well. I remember it was about a year to this day, Jeremy preached his last message at CLT. He preached on Haggai and the glory of the coming temple. I remember that just so starkly. And a year later, Jeremy's up here. He's been up here again before, but he's up again. Jeremy's a good friend. Jeremy has a rich history as a part of this church. And this morning, he's going to be bringing a word that he has felt the Lord has laid on his heart. So let's give Jeremy a hand and let's get ready to receive whatever it is you have to tell us.
All right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak and share today. As Marco said, I felt this very clear message that the Lord put on my heart to share today, so I hope that it's encouraging to you. For those watching online, we hope to see you here again soon. There's room for you. There's empty seats here, so you're welcome to be back anytime you feel comfortable, so thanks for being here. Today's message is titled, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? When I felt this, the picture that came to mind was when we were raising our children when they were much younger. At Christmas and Easter, we make them stay upstairs in our home until we are just all prepared downstairs. So we hide stockings, we hide Easter baskets, and it's interesting to watch the response of our kids as they have grown up, because when they're younger, they almost come out of their skin with excitement and anticipation for what's downstairs waiting on them. They're just can't quite contain the emotion of what they're waiting for. And then as they get older, they get much more subdued and more sophisticated, and they tend to sleep a little bit later, and they tend to just kind of lounge around upstairs all the while. Ella now is in that phase of life where she is excited, expectant. I wonder, are we expectant, like little children, for something big coming? Or are we like the teenagers, where we're just kind of playing cool? I hope that today I can inspire a little bit of expectation in us, that we would have an excitement in our heart about what's coming in the future. Now, I don't know about you, but when you look around the landscape of what we have and what we see might be in the future, it doesn't look good. Like, if we look at the financial news, that we're seeing, oh, there's nothing but bad news ahead. If we look at health news, we look at, oh, there's nothing but bad news ahead. If we look at relational things, it looks like divorce is up, domestic abuse is up. Everything around us is bad news. But can I tell you, there is some things that we can look forward to. And here's what I want to do today. I want us to look to God's word, because I believe that as believers in Christ, we are to be people of this word. I love Stephen Seacrest did a devotional and posted it on our Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and it was describing the kind of people we are to be. We're to be a people not of the news, not of self-help, but we're to be a people of this book right here. And so today I want to take us to this book, and I've got a lot of scripture that I want to go over, but I know that faith being grown in us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by this book. Amen. So let's go first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a passage that is written to a group of people who are very ready. They're very excited and expectant about things to come. And the Apostle Paul is giving them some instruction about the things to come. And so I want to read from chapter 4, verse 13, all the way through chapter 5, verse 13. So here's what the Apostle Paul talks about when it comes to Jesus coming again. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers," and we'll just include sisters there, "about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." Can I just pause right there and say, if we are believers in Christ, then we don't respond to the things around us as those who have no hope. We look at the world differently. Paul gives us this instruction, especially when it comes to death. And by the way, we hear a lot about death around us these days. And guess what is true? There is a statistic that has been true forever, and that is that 100% of every human that's born will ultimately, yeah, get it, they will die. Every one of us. That may not be good news to you, but what Paul says here is that we can have hope in God. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will," I love this, "bring with him those who have fallen asleep," those who have died. There is a resurrection promised for those who have put their faith in Christ. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." We won't go ahead, but those who were already dead will actually rise first. Here's what he says. He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven." This is something so powerful for us to look forward to. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them." That's the only place in the entire Bible that this word "caught up" is mentioned. In fact, the Greek word is not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. They're caught up there. You may have heard the English word "rapture" before. They are raptured up with God. They're caught up together with them in the clouds, all the angels of heaven, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I don't know that I hear enough of believers encouraging one another in the hope that we have in Christ coming again. I think that we need to be encouraging one another, because Paul goes on in chapter 5 and he says, "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Are you ready? For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having..." Wrong page. Stuck together. There we go. "Having on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we're awake, that is that we're alive, or we're asleep, that is that we're dead, we might live with him. Therefore, again, Paul says, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. I came this morning with a word from God to encourage us to have hope. There's hope to be had. And I believe that for all of us, when we're looking around at what we're going through as a country and as a world right now, it's challenging to have hope. And yet we need that kind of hope every single day. And so today I want to give you some things that we can do as we are waiting so that we can really determine, are we ready? Okay, so Matthew 25, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he gives us this beautiful picture of what to do while you're waiting. Here's the first passage. It's in Matthew 25, and I believe here's one thing that we can be doing while we wait, and that is to know Christ, to know him. Our church's very mission and vision is to know Christ. And there is no end in him. Therefore, there's no arrival at knowing him. Like, we don't know him, and then all of a sudden we stop learning about him. We know him, and we continue to advance in him. As we think about knowing Christ, this is not knowing about him, okay? This is not knowing facts like, oh, Jesus Christ, he died for my sin. He rose from the dead. I check those boxes, and therefore I know him. No, this is about knowing him intimately and personally. In fact, this passage in Matthew 25 that we're looking at, Matthew 25, Jesus is telling a story about 10 women, virgins, who go, and some are prepared, and some are unprepared. And Jesus says this, he says that each of them go and they prepare in different ways. Some of them wait too long to prepare, though. And as a result, what happens is in verse 12, he says, I say to you, I do not know you. I don't know you. Why would he say, I don't know you? Maybe it's because, as he did in Matthew 7, where people were doing good works in his name, they were saying, hey, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not do all these things in your name? Maybe it's because they were trusting in their good works to know him. Maybe it's because they didn't have an intimacy in their relationship with him. And so my question for you today is, do you know him? Do you know him? Not like intellectually know him. I'm talking about relationally know him. Do you have a deep abiding trust in him that you know him and you're really intimately connected to him? I love the picture here because in Matthew 25, it's talking about how each of the virgins went and they filled their lamps with oil. Oil is always a symbol, a representation of the Holy Spirit. And you think about that, and you think about knowing Christ comes by having an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That you say, Holy Spirit, show me more of who you are. Holy Spirit, fill me so that I can know Christ. I love what Paul said, full of the Spirit. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Do we have that kind of hunger to know Christ? I think that that's kind of a gauge for us. Are you ready? Do you want to know Christ more? Are you progressively knowing Christ more? Or are you just kind of, yeah, I know about him. Know Christ. Second picture we get, Matthew 25, is to grow in Christ. to grow in Christ. This passage, I believe, is a picture of potential. And I particularly like it because of my current role in vocational life, because it's a passage about return on investment. Okay, for it will be like a man going on a journey talking about the kingdom who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. You've heard this story before. To each according to his ability, his potential. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once, traded with them. Trading in the market, and he made 5 talents more, 100% return. So he also, he who had 2 talents, made 2 talents more, 100% return. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. He wasn't getting full return on the potential that was there. He wasn't growing in the potential that God had for him, ultimately, for the kingdom. When we think about this, each of us, each of you, have been entrusted with gifts and abilities for the kingdom. And it's irresponsible for us to take those and hide them, to bury them. Jesus said, none of us should put our light under a bushel, but we should let our light shine before men so that they might see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. As we think about while we're waiting, are we growing into the potential that God has for us? Or are we digging a hole in the ground, putting our gifts and abilities in a can and never multiplying those for the kingdom of God? The scriptures all full of examples of grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Growth is a big part of kingdom life. If we're going to be people who are waiting on the return of Jesus, and let me just pause right there and say, this isn't like some kind of scare you to death or scare the hell out of you kind of message, right? Like, this is a message of preparedness, that we're expectant for the return of Christ. And while we're waiting, there's things we can be busy about. We can be developing our full potential. Are you fully prepared? Are you growing into who God has created you to become? I believe this. I believe that God wants us to have a growth mindset. That we're always thinking, how can we grow? And can I say this, that we never grow in a place of comfort? When we think about what God has for us, we have to be intentionally thinking, how can we press out of what I'm comfortable in and press into this place of uncomfortable? Because it's in that place of uncomfortable that I'll begin to grow. When I think about this thing of being prepared, I think this is so important, that we have a growth mindset. And in fact, when we think about this, Jesus is so clear, because he says, for those who have been given a little, that he'll make them ruler over much in the coming kingdom, right? Like, if we take advantage of what God's given us here and now and we grow that, then that just means that God's going to give us more to be responsible for. And that's good news. Here's one last thing I think we can do while we wait. And we're going to know Christ. We're going to grow in Christ. And then last, let's show Christ. Last week, I laughed because Charlie was preaching. And the last little quote that Charlie shared, he said, oh, Oswald Smith, I don't even know who that guy is. You know, Charlie's watching online today, but he's like, I don't even know who that guy is. But he said, we should be a lot more, because a lot of people talk about the second coming of Christ, and yeah, I can't wait for Jesus' return. And that's what I'm calling us to. He said, but a lot of people haven't even heard of the first coming of Christ. And so let me say, I don't disagree with what that guy is saying. I think that we are to be a people expectant of the return of Jesus. And yet while we're waiting, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to make him known. We have a responsibility to show Christ to those around us. And specifically, Jesus gives this parable. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, all the people. And he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For here's what he says. He says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is showing Christ. This is modeling the kind of justice that God has in place through us as the church to the world. We don't hide. We don't quiver. We don't quake and worry about our own lives. We say, God, use us to go make a difference in the world. That we will be the hands and feet of Jesus to everyone out in the world watching. We show Christ. And as we do, Jesus says, I love this. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. But for those who did, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When you are serving, you're never more like Jesus. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving, when you're showing Christ to the world. And let me just say this. We who are out in the marketplace, that have vocations that are outside the church, we are called to show Christ to the world. I talk to people on a regular basis, and I'll say there is a frustration on my part at how much fear is in the world right now. I talk to people who tell me they have not left their homes in weeks and months because of fear. And I feel like it's my responsibility as a Christ follower to bring some light and some hope into their lives. And while I'm calling them to talk about their investment portfolio, that's not my primary calling. Because here's the thing, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. And the things of this world will all pass away. And I don't know the timeline on all that. Like, I particularly believe that Jesus will come again. Then there'll be a tribulation period. The Antichrist will rule and reign in that time. Then Jesus will come again for a second time. That's what we call the second coming of Christ. And he'll be riding on a white horse. And Satan will be cast into the sea. And when that happens, Jesus will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And again, I'm just telling you what I believe. Every one of you has to make up your mind on what you believe about how the events of the end will occur. But I encourage you, be a person of this book. Dig in, learn for yourself of what God is showing you about this. there are lots of theology books. In fact, I read a book when I was in seminary that said there are five views on the tribulation, or I think it's four views on the tribulation, five views on the millennium. Whatever you choose to believe, because there are good biblical arguments about each one of those, I want to encourage you, know what you believe. Know what you believe. Know Christ. Grow in Christ. Show Christ. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when he comes. I want to be riding with him on that white horse when he comes. There was a moment where I felt this message was kind of cemented in my heart, and Lindsay and Chris can come. I was driving back from vacation, and we were listening to a song, and it was a song from way back in like the mid-90s. There was an event that happened in church history in 1995 that really was interesting. On Father's Day of 1995, there was a church in Pensacola, Florida, that had a guest speaker. And as he began speaking, they had a supernatural revival break out in that community. This revival went on for over 5 years. Every night of the week, Monday through Saturday, and then they would have church on Sunday as well. This was called, if you're familiar with it, called the Brownsville Revival. Now, one thing that I was listening to, because I'm listening now 20 years later, in retrospect of what I'm hearing and what was happening through that church, that's where this song came from. It came out of that revival. As I'm listening to that, I'm hearing themes of holiness. Like, God is wanting his church to be a people who are holy. Holiness doesn't mean perfect, although God is perfect. Holiness means set apart for a purpose. You and I are called to be, as we're waiting on the return of the Lord, we're called to be holy. Are we holy? Are we a people that have said, God, I want to live differently than the world lives? Would our lives look any different from your coworkers because of your faith in Jesus? So, holiness is a theme, but another theme that was very clear is this expectation of the return of Jesus. If we're going to have revival, if we're going to see this outpouring of God's Spirit, I think we need a return to an expectation of the return of Jesus. That we would say, yes, Lord, come in our day, that we don't worry about all the things of this world and get pent up by fear and concern about our portfolio or our health or our relationships, but we focus on what we can control, and we focus on what we can't control, which is the return of the Lord. I love the way the book of Revelation ends, and it's just Jesus come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. I don't know if you ever read the book of Revelation, it's pretty trippy. When you read it, you might get confused. But if you read the last paragraph, it's not very confusing. It's a believer in Christ, John, the Revelator, writing with a hunger for the return of Jesus. Are you ready? Do you have that kind of hunger? Do you have that kind of anticipation, that kind of excitement that kids have on Christmas or Easter about the return of Jesus? I sure hope so. That's my prayer for us today. And if you're here today and you don't know him, then I want to invite you to know him. Because, man, there's so much hope in Christ. So would you bow your heads with me?
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.